Because seriously, when's the last time you were sober enough to wake up at 5:30 a.m. to listen live? Subscribe to the Brady and Walker podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. He's the smartest guy in the room. We'll let you decide which one we're talking about. Brady and Walker. Now. On Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Hey, good morning. 5:32. It's Brady and Walker on your Thursday. When do pitchers and catchers report? Let's start the countdown.
20 days, 25 days.
Yeah, it's not... It's always the shortest, or at least it seems to be, the shortest off season.
Yeah, I hate the concept of pitchers and catchers. We don't do that with any. When do point guards and small forwards report? Just send everybody at the same time. As he proved last night, pitchers don't need any extra help. Madison Bumgarner need to be babied, like we baby all these other pitchers. What was that game last year in? Of course I remember it. Max Scherzer, right? Jim Leland's got to use five guys in one inning, and Max Scherzer's too tired, quote-unquote. Madison Bumgarner would not have come out of that game no matter what. Bruce Bochy couldn't have dragged him out of that game.
The San Francisco Giants win the World Series. Plenty of layers to get into on this one. Baseball's over for another season. The third World Series win in 5 years. That's incredibly impressive, obviously. And the performance we saw from Madison Bumgarner, this is, you threw it out on Twitter last night, Oral Hershiser, Jack Morris, the greatest playoff pitchers of this or the previous era.
I probably forgot Pedro Martinez. I probably should have added him.
Yeah, Pedro, throw him in there.
From 2004 and 1999, for that matter. Yeah.
Now, does this, because no one's going to put this guy on the same planet, but does Andy Pettit fit into that? Because of how good he always was in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Because the Yankees really never had... The Yankees never really had that ace, right? The Yankees never won a World Series like the San Francisco Giants won this one by, here you go, take the ball and carry it.
That was the thought with Clemens, right? When Clemens was an ex-J the first year in 99, and the Yankees had really no problem dusting off...
The Mets.
Yeah, the Mets were 2000, the Braves were 99, but they had no problem in either series. There was no... And 98, obviously, was San Diego. There really wasn't any drama. I'm looking up Pettit really quick, just because you mentioned him. It's pretty undeniable, the consistency, but no one ever asked him to do something.
No.
Like they asked Bumgarner last night. And the one thing...
He would just come out and give you six or seven every playoff start.
The one thing that I think is just incomparable is we can even talk about Jack Morris's 10 innings, but look who else the Braves had. Has there ever been combined a worse starting staff be carried by one dude? Like Tim Hudson and Ryan Vogelsong had terrible starts in this series.
Yeah, and you were on point with Jake Peavy as well. Oh. I mean, you take away... Just take away Bumgarner in this series, and there's no question that the Kansas City Royals win it. I mean, it's not even remotely a debate.
Like, Morris goes 10 innings for Minnesota, but he still had, you know, he still had other guys going out there and going 7 or 8. And, you know, even Kevin Tappany had an 8-inning gem in Game 5 of the 91 World Series. It happens to normal guys. The Giants got no other help from their starters, and really, the Royals didn't have... That start. Jason Vargas out of the gate was probably closest.
I mean, Ventura two nights ago.
Ventura was excellent.
But it was a 10-0 game.
Yeah.
You know, in retrospect, and God, I wonder, people in Kansas City last night are sitting there over their beers wondering what could have been. The game that everyone will probably remember is game, or in terms of being a Royals fan, is Game 4, right? That's the one that got away from you. A 4-1 lead.
You got a lead.
Bumgarner. It was the only game in this series that Bumgarner didn't shut you down that you lost.
Yeah, that was the one. It was probably the moment. We talked about it Monday. It felt so long ago because it was Saturday night in Game 4 when we talked about it Monday morning, but it was probably pretty significant. So, yeah, an unreal postseason culminated with a weird ninth inning. An incredibly awkward MVP ceremony, which was great.
Oh, my God.
We all stayed up for it. It made us all very happy
Are we playing that today? We need to play that
today.
Hourly.
Can you play it enough? Is six times in a show enough?
The Chevy guy. It was, you know what it was? It's because we've just dealt with how many years of Rob Ford and will continue to. It wasn't even surprising because you're like, yeah, Rob Ford's giving away a truck. That's what happened.
And you get a lot of American media, sports and otherwise. Rob Lowe even mentioned and said, was that Rob Ford, mayor of Toronto? Or former mayor of Toronto, either way. Ceiling's fixing his hair.
Yeah, what did
Aaron
I see?
Aaron Andrews is messing up questions and Madison Bumgarner's like, get me the H out of here now.
What was the one tweet I saw? I'm glad to see Chris Farley's death was a hoax. Yeah.
Sky wrote, dozed off. Why is Saturday Night Live on?
it's
Thursday.
5:37, Brady and Walker. It was a wild ending as well. We have a disagreement on if Alex Gordon should have been sent home on an inside the park home run to tie it. Can you
they
believe
probably
it?
Probably lose either
can
way.
You, can you believe probably had that happened?
It's almost a certainty they're losing either way.
Giants win. Madison Bumgarner MVP. It is 5:37. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. And we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Absolutely free. Now, more Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
6 seconds to go. Vasquez runs it front court to Lou Williams. On the bounce, far side, floats it up and in at the buzzer. Lou Williams knocks it down.
5:42. Brady and Walker. The World Series comes to a close last night. What a moment. Hope everyone was able to catch a little bit of that Raptors game as well as the home opening win, 109-102. And we talk about all the time, especially with this Raptors team. It's not so much that they win, it's how they do it. And was there any more Raptors type of fashion than what we saw last night?
I guess there are runs. Atlanta outscored Toronto 31-23 in the fourth. People got all tense. And
they shot like 80%.
Right. Toronto had a four-point lead. Atlanta is a great outside shooting team. They were last year. I think they were second in the NBA in assists. You don't need all those stats. But Atlanta's also made the playoffs the last 7 years. I mean,
that's really surprising.
Isn't it amazing?
Amazing.
They've won one round, but they get there every year. Every year, the cast characters change. Sometimes the coach changes and they get there. So this may finally be the year they don't. But either way, people are diagnosing the Raptors as some kind of not able to finish in fourth quarter team because they did have a very up and down series with Brooklyn. But they came back in on Brooklyn as much as Brooklyn came back in on them at times. It was. We were at the game five, game seven on the Sunday. There were some game three in Brooklyn had a lot of lead swings in the second half.
But seven Raptors in double digits. Nobody got to 20. Valanciunas at 17. Three guys had double doubles. Lowry had his 11 assists. It's just so, I mean, I suppose in a world you want a guy to take charge and go out and put up his 32, but this team just doesn't need to do that. And it's so, what's the word? Refreshing? Is it refreshing that one guy's not saying, boy, I only have 16 points tonight. I better jack up 12 more shots in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. Three guys scored 20 for Atlanta, Korver, Teague, and Scott. And nobody did for Toronto. And it didn't matter because everybody hits double digits. Everybody takes their fair amount of shots. There's no Kobe Bryant took 32 shots last night for the Lakers, and they lost by 20.
Yeah.
And he had three assists. That will happen night.
When does Rudy Gay play? How many times does he shoot?
That'll happen night after night after night. But, 109-102 win for Toronto to get out of the gate. There will be a lot of people wondering how Andrew Wiggins, Nick Stauskas, Tyler Ennis did in their debuts. All were sort of okay. None were terrible, but there's going to be some lean nights for Andrew Wiggins.
There was no Anthony Bennett, you're saying? From last night?
I don't even think I noticed whether he played or not.
I'm saying
there wasn't some.
Anthony Bennett went, I'm saying his NBA day. He went like eight games before
Cleveland.
He got his first bucket.
Yeah. Anthony Bennett played 13 minutes last night in a T-Wolves loss. But either way, Raptors will go on the road, play Orlando and Miami this weekend. We've got the call with Eric Smith, 6 o'clock, right after Bills football, basically, on Sunday, as the Buffalo Bills take to our airwaves again at 1 o'clock. We'll tell you more about that, obviously, tomorrow when we get you set for an NFL weekend. But, yeah, we're all still buzzing World Series-wise. I finally found the quote I wanted from Gregor Blanco. So if you're watching last night, Madison Bumgarner heads out for his fifth inning of work in the ninth. He gets Eric Hosmer. Now I'm blanking who was after Eric Hosmer. Basically, Alex Gordon comes to the plate with two out.
Billy Butler
was, yeah. And kind of tops a, it's a hard hit ball. there was a moment maybe of hesitation for Blanco to make the catch, and then he just mangled it and let it get by him. He didn't even deflect it. It got all the way by him to the wall. It was fumbled at the wall by another outfielder. And Blanco's quote after the game, as soon as the ball was hit, I said to myself, you've got to go for that ball. But then I got caught up. You've got to keep the double play in order. There's two out. We don't need your double play philosophies. There's no double play necessary.
I didn't hear that.
Oh my God.
I would suggest letting it fall in is probably the right play and keeping it in front of you, but it has nothing to do with the double play there, kid.
And Juan Perez fumbled it a couple times, actually. So Gordon didn't sprint out of the box. There is not a great debate, but there was another option, and a lot of people thought, maybe, and I started thinking it more, not it's an undeniable fact that Gordon should have been sent home. It would have been an amazing ending in a World Series. But as it was happening, I was a bit surprised that he got to third base when he got there. But then they showed the replay, and the stop sign is way on, like about the time he's 10 feet away from second base. He's probably meat of the dish. It's at least an 85% chance he's meat of the dish. But there's about as much chance as Salvador Perez stroking a single. I thought they might even put in a pinch runner and hope for a wild pitch of some kind that Jared Dyson could score on a play, right?
Sitting there on my couch. I mean, I was the same as anybody, not having a rooting interest in the game, just wanting to see a finish that we'll be talking about in 10, 15, 20 years. Yeah, it would have been amazing to see a play at the plate at a chance at an inside the park home run to tie the game. But it would have been incredible beyond description. But it's not peewee baseball, and it's not a video game. He was so out. He would have been so out that you had to take your chances. You had to take your chances with Perez, because so you know how it is. So many things can happen, right? It was a terrible at bat. And when you look back on it, it is disappointing that the series ends on a foul pop-up to Sandoval. But he can hit a high chopper off the plate. He can get jammed and have a dying quail go over third. I mean, so many things can happen. If that third base coach sends Alex Gordon, we're sitting here today. Remember what we did? Remember when Rivera sent Deonor Navarro? And it was a mean-nothing regular season game. But no, Deonor Navarro might be the slowest guy in the majors.
Right, Gordon's a lot faster than him.
Right, but it was the same. It would have been the same play.
Yeah, okay.
Right. So Navarro hits it, and they start throwing it around. I can't remember who it is against this Blue Jays season, and Navarro's chugging around the bases, and everyone's cheering. And Luis Rivera, gets caught up in the moment at third, and waves Navarro home. And the second he crosses the bag, you realize this is a terrible idea. And it was so, he was out by 30 feet. And I just had the feeling that's what that would have been.
The irony, there's still, when you play younger baseball, and you played and I played, the coach will always take risks like that. He'll send runners left, right, because the kids will throw it away.
Just throw it over the head.
Kids won't hang on to the relay. Kids won't hang on to the cutoff. The cutoff goes 10 feet over the head. Well, yeah, we're not talking, it's not Jose Canseco out there. And I don't mean Jose Canseco now. I mean, in his prime as a bad defensive outfielder.
Canseco would have trouble throwing the ball.
The ball probably ends up in Posey's hands, and the irony that the collision rule has basically been changed because of Buster Posey's mangled leg a couple of years back, and he's probably out. The quote from Mike Jurcisso, the third base coach, believe me, I wanted to send him. I couldn't do it.
That makes total sense.
It's one of those things. There may not even be a right or wrong call. The Royals had that look when Bumgarner's on the hill in the ninth, like it's an invading army coming into your town, and you can't do a damn thing about it. They didn't have any jump. The fans were treating Holland out there at the top of the ninth like he was closing down the win, and they were just like, we're going to get nuts here because this is our moment. We're not having a moment in the bottom of the ninth until that Gordon ball went to the wall. But you're right. It was everybody leaped off the couch, out of the bed, whatever, and said, oh, my God. But it fell short of this incredible climax.
And another player. I mean, you look at Dyson or Lorenzo Cain or these other, you know, these other speedsters, Aoki, that Kansas City have. If it's anybody else, they're probably scoring on that.
That's why I'm a little surprised. You could put Jared Dyson in there as a pinch runner, and a ball could bounce off Posey's shins just to the on-deck circle, and you got to send him.
You got to try.
You got to send him at that point.
Madison Bumgarner taking nothing away, but I'll tell you why I was disappointed with how the Royals manage their game against the Giants lefty. That's coming up at 6:02. It's 5:51. Our producer, the venerable Ryan Favreau, is in with a look at today's history.
Fans.
It's now and then.
Now and then. A hopefully but potentially not entertaining look back at some of the great and not so great moments in this day's history. I'll be back in
time. Well, are we overdoing it? Madison Bumgarner, Jack Morris, Pedro Martinez,
no.
Kurt Schilling.
It was very good.
Mickey Lolich, I mean, for our older listeners.
Josh Towers, Gustavo Chassis.
Cy Young.
Right? All the greats. All baseball's great.
Paul Newhouser.
Oh, God. Victor Zambrano.
Okay. Just pitchers. Oh, yeah. You did. He is a pitcher.
Right. Yeah. Today is October the 30th. What happened on this day, you asked? Well, I'm going to tell you.
Happy Halloween.
A great year, 1945. Jackie Robinson. Max, play the stupid piano song, for God's sakes. There we go.
That's right. Yes. Takes a while to crank up sometimes. It's like one of those phonograms.
Yeah, you got to get cranker. Jackie Robinson signs with the Montreal Royals. Now, some could argue he was the best player. I would also say that you could include Kermit Kittman, Salty Parker, or Grantham Lambert.
Wow.
All his teammates.
On the Royals that year?
Six and one, half dozen of the other, really, would he?
They were good players,
they
too.
They didn't have a lot of chemistry on that team, though.
No. Well.
A lot of cliques.
Yeah. Kermit, bad guy in the locker room.
Kermit's wins above replacement wasn't that good.
Okay, let's move. To 1993, where the Leafs lose their first game of the season after starting 10-0. Oh, my God.
The Leafs. They must have been happy about that start.
10-0. What year was this? 93?
Yeah, after their run when Carey Fraser...
It wasn't getting very much attention with the Blue Jays-Phillies World Series.
That is right.
They were 10-0 out of the gate.
I can't believe that. All that happened here. Anyway.
In the Western Conference, no less.
That's right.
I was going to make a comparison. You know how we said game number four was the one that got away for the Giants? It reminded me of when the Leafs lost to the Kings. I mean, we all know what happened in game seven, but it's the game six that you sit there and wonder what could have been.
Yeah, the non-Gretzky call.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Sorry, Thubs.
Still really hurts. Jordan.
It was 21 years
ago. But
they're
losing to Montreal in the final. I tell everybody that and nobody believes me.
Wow.
Be objective.
Who knows?
Come on.
No, we would have won. Yeah. I played on that team. That's why I call them we. 2001, Jordan comes out of retirement.
Which time is this?
Plays for the Wizards. This was his third time. Kind of had some extra weight on him. Not as good. But I still think he averaged like 20 points and still made some game winners, but it wasn't the same. And he was the GM in drafting Kwame Brown.
So he's yelling at you to pass him the ball, and you're not going to pass him the ball?
Right. Tyronn Lue, you better pass the damn ball.
Kwame Brown. So you're saying Wizards Jordan not as good as Bulls Jordan?
Correct.
Good take.
Strong. Right. Also better than baseball Jordan. Oh, God. Well, let's do birthdays. You know I love birthdays. Diego Maradona, soccer legend. Mm. How old is Diego Maradona?
Say hello to my little friend!
Doesn't sound like that. He's a
different guy. I'll say...
Both enjoy cocaine, though.
60? I don't know.
Yeah, I was going to go around 56.
54, correct answer.
Looks a lot older. A lot of wear on those tires.
Yes. Yes. God. Bad birthdays. Marco Scudero is 39.
Such thing. Marco Scudero, former Giants World Series champion.
That was kind of one that got away from the Jays a little bit, hey?
No.
Should have kept Scudero around.
Right.
I'm being serious.
Have they improved that position since then?
Well.
No.
Whatever.
Like, Scudero had like 18 hits in a playoff series after they let him go.
I think he still gets a ring this year. He played for five games with the Giants, so he'll get another World Series ring.
Yeah,
been on the DL, you're with back trouble, like me.
Whatever.
I'll stick with Goins.
And Andy Green is 32. He's a hockey player.
Had an assist a few nights ago.
Right. Yeah, one of the best the Canadians have, I think. I know who he plays with. Stop looking at me.
And the number one hit in 1990, it's Vanilla Ice. With Ice Ice Baby. I had this on cassette.
Of course you did. Everyone did. I saw Vanilla Ice perform this live at the Cooler in Lloydminster. It was really sad. Like, you're there, and you're like, you shouldn't be here.
I thought he did a thrash version.
You shouldn't have been there.
Oh, I should have been there. I was like 19.
Probably should have been there.
All right. Let's talk Giants.
Giants, Bumgarner, play at the plate. Or at least maybe there should have been. 5:56, Brody and Walker. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Extreme, I rock a mic like a vandal, light up a
stage and wax a chump like a candle. Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. The Giants are World Series champions.
And the Giants have won the World Series again. Madison Bumgarner with a phenomenal performance. 5 shutout innings in relief here tonight. And for the third time in 5 seasons, the San Francisco Giants are the champions of the baseball world.
You're listening to Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Was that the best postseason pitching performance you've ever seen? 6:03, it is Brady and Walker, the San Francisco Giants, Greg. For the third time in 5 years, are World Series champions. What a series, what a finish, what a game. 3-2 over Kansas City. Baumgartner comes in relief on 2 days rest and goes 5 shutout innings, allowing just 2 hits. Have we seen something like this in our era?
Don't know what to compare it to. Not a clue what to compare it to. And we've seen guys pitch on 2 days rest. And we've seen guys start. Oral Hershiser had a start on 3 days rest to win the NLCS. He went again on 3 days rest in the World Series. But there wasn't that drama. If Oral Hershiser doesn't close out the Oakland A's in 1988, the year of the Gibson home run, guess what? There's a game 6 and a game 7. If Bumgarner's not right last night and he gave up a hit to the first batter he faced, and then he retired 14 straight. If he's in trouble, are the second-guessing police out going, oh, my God, he wasn't ready? If he just looks human and leaks oil just a little bit, right, 72 hours, I should say, after being out there and throwing 117 pitches in a complete game shutout, are people in on Bruce Bochy? I don't know, but I don't know what to compare last night to. It's the greatest carrying of fellow starters. I know that much.
Oh,
With what Tim Hudson and Ryan Vogelsong and Jake Peavy gave the rest of the way, the Giants had no business winning the World Series with that kind of starting pitching, but they did because of one dude.
This was the only thing I bristled at last night. Baumgartner dominates game 1, dominates game 5, so he was 2-0 in the World Series, and it just continued what was already a great playoff. And there was a lot of talk yesterday and last night leading up to this game, and even in the early innings, where people just thought it was academic. Well, Bumgarner is going to come out of the pen and dominate because he's Madison Bumgarner. I hated that idea because the greatest pitchers of all time are not the same guys on 2 days rest. This is the major leagues. What we saw last night, like, no one is saying Bumgarner couldn't come out and give you 3 effective innings. But coming out and being nearly unhittable for 5, that's unheard of, even for the best in the game. It's unheard of. On 2 days rest, you're not supposed to be the same pitcher.
Absolutely. And we've romanticized an awful lot of stuff. Jack Morris had 4 days rest when he went out and threw 10 innings. We mentioned Hershiser. Kurt Schilling's bloody sock game, right? To get through and edge out the Yankees was a game 6. But Derek Lowe still has to be really good the next night. And Pedro Martinez had to be really good the night before. So you need help along the way. Again, like you said, sending him out there yesterday, people were acting like he'd be soft if he didn't take the ball, or that it's a no-brainer for Bruce Bochy. I mean, we just saw, and I thought about the Tony Romo thing even Sunday night, because as you know, we should get to calling them Concussion Nation. People are all like, if you get a little dizzy and someone slaps your helmet, I'm all for more research, more understanding, doctors on the sidelines, yada yada. But we're all in on protecting the brain. This guy has an arm, and he's 24, and he wants to make a living with that arm the next 15 years. And we're telling him somehow, hey, tough guy, get back out on that hill. Your team needs you. Like, that's talk about playing, and in a it was a no-win situation, and he won. That's the best way I can describe it. It was no win for him to come out there on 3 days rest, and he won. And he went five innings of two-hit shutout ball. It's incredible.
It was an incredible ending as well as the Kansas City Royals. Bumgarner or no Bumgarner did strand that tying run on third base. We're going to get into the play and exactly what happened coming up at 6:22. The Giants, third World Series win in 5 years. Is this as close to any type of sports dynasty we can even see anymore?
Well, we found the dynasty was, I don't think kids now who grow up and watch sports, maybe there's 14, 15-year-olds out there and parents are listening going, I talk to my kids about sports and I try and explain what a real dynasty is, like how they just celebrated the 84 Oilers or even if we look at Toronto and the Jays and making the playoffs 4 out of 5 years. This is the first NL team to win 3 of 5 World Series since the 40s.
Yeah.
Like, so we can all think, hey, we grew up in dynasties and 70s and 80s and all that, but there were only really Yankees, Lakers. There were only two Islanders, Oilers, Canadians. It happened a lot in hockey. Didn't happen as much as we think in the other sports. I don't know how, if you say to me, Andrew, in the next 20 years, will any team win 3 World Series in 5 years? God, the Yankees won 3 straight just 15 years ago. So it's hard to absolutely rule it out. But I'd be lean towards the fact that this is as close as a team can get. And there's no salary cap in baseball. It's the one sport where you should be able to extend things out. God, Bumgarner signed. He signed through 2019. They don't have to worry about him. And he's making $11 and $12 million when guys like Verlander and Kershaw are going to make $27 million. Think about that.
Big morning coming up. John Morosi is going to join us at 8:42. As mentioned, we will get into that final play and the final couple of at-bats coming up at 6:22. Did the Royals do everything they could have in order to have a chance to win this game? Also, we want to send you to the ACC coming up this weekend. We have hockey tickets to give away to you. Listen to clue number one in about 5 minutes from now. First, let's get you what you need to know on your Thursday.
This is your Thursday morning six-pack. Six things you need to start your day.
Number six, the family of Hockey Hall of Famer Gordie Howe will give you an update. They released a statement yesterday. It says the 86-year-old is in guarded condition. Say his spirits are good after suffering that significant stroke on Sunday. And actually, you can believe it, showed some signs of improvement yesterday. There is a long road to recovery ahead, but you know how it was. And not to be morbid, there was this impending sense, I think, around our country yesterday, Greg, that everyone was kind of waiting for the untimely news concerning Gordie Howe.
Yeah, it's good news. We'll keep you posted throughout the morning and obviously throughout the daytime as to how he is. We've seen, we talked about the end even yesterday a bit after the show and talked about how when Maurice Richard passed away, when some hockey icons have passed away, what it is in this country that may make it like no other sport in the States in terms of how reverential we are. And Gordie Howe will be, I would say he'll be no different. He'll take it to a new level. There's no question, but we wish him well.
Number five, we will get to the Raptors home opening win coming up in a couple minutes, but there were some other debuts last night people paying attention to, especially here in Canada. Now, Andrew Wiggins, local kid, the number one overall selection, did get the start in his NBA debut after Kevin Martin of the Timberwolves was sidelined by an ankle injury. Wiggins scored 6 points in just under 19 minutes. And, of course, a couple other young Canadians that people were watching for as well.
Yeah, Wiggins hit a three from outside, ended up with the 6 points. Marc Gasol was the big star. The Grizzlies took out Minnesota 105-101. Nick Stauskas got some minutes. Sacramento lost at home to Golden State, 95-77. He was held in the single digits. The only Canadian to win last night was Tyler Ennis.
Yeah, and he only played 12 minutes and went 1 for 2 from the field as well. So it was a very limited role for Ennis in his debut.
But that said, he's the one that probably will play the least and yet might have the best chance to be in the playoffs and be impactful. Phoenix had a huge win total last year and just missed out. They may be a little bit better this year. It's going to be tough in the West. They could get 50 wins and still be the 8th seed. So Ennis got in for 12 and a half minutes last night.
Number four, NFL Thursday Nighter. It's on Sportsnet Ontario tonight. It's New Orleans and it's Carolina. Both teams are 3-4 in what has turned into a lousy NFC South. Are we going to be talking about, 7-8 weeks from now that one team from this division is getting in, and it's going to be the winner of this game?
Just feels like that's the case every year. You're going to have an 8-7-1 or a 9-7 division champ, and you'll host an 11-5 12-4 team. What was the that Seattle New Orleans game when Marshawn Lynch ran crazy? The Saints were defending Super Bowl champs, and I feel like they were 12-4, but they didn't win their division, and they had to go on the road and play at 7-9 Seattle, and got just blown up by the Seahawks. And Seattle went and lost to Chicago the next week.
Yeah, with the famous Marshawn Lynch earthquake run or whatever that was.
You tell me. Do you see either team turning this around and going 6-2-1 the rest of the way? It's hard to see it.
Not really. I think both are very average. But as we saw with their win over the Green Bay Packers, if the Saints can manage to get a home playoff game, they're just a different team, right?
Yeah.
Number three, couple of games in the NHL last night. Fairly quiet. Actually, good day for it to be quiet with Game 7 of the World Series. But the Oilers' win streak comes to a close. They lose 4-1 to Nashville and Detroit. They keep on rolling. Datsyuk's healthy. Zetterberg's healthy. A 4-2 win over the Washington Capitals. Now, tonight on Sportsnet 360, doubleheader, including a real good matchup in the early game. You got the Kings and the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yeah, that's out of the gate in a hurry. Montreal-Vancouver, of course, as Montreal finishes up their Western trip. And the Leafs off, they'll play Columbus. Columbus not on a back-to-back. They don't end up playing tonight. They're 4-5 out of the gate. They had a lot of trouble. Columbus swept the season series last year. For the Leafs are home against the Blackhawks on Saturday.
Number two, Raptors win their home opener 109-102 against the Atlanta Hawks. They do it by committee, kind of like we saw last year. Seven players in double digits. We'll get into it at 6:27. And, of course, the number one thing you need to know, baseball's over. The San Francisco Giants, World Series champions, 3-2 over the Kansas City Royals. The game ends with Alex Gordon stranded on third base. Should the third base coach have sent Alex Gordon home trying for the inside the park? We will ask that question coming up at 6:22 this morning. First, we want to send you to the ACC this weekend to check out Toronto and pretty good matchup, the Chicago Blackhawks in town. Leafs beat them at the ACC last season. It is Brady Walker's ticket window, courtesy of the Great Blue Heron Casino. Give us the name of this player. We'll give you clues at 7:14 and 8:14. Here is clue number one. He was a one-time first-round pick of the Los Angeles Kings. Next clue coming up at 7:14, courtesy of the Great Blue Heron Casino. And if you want to win tickets coming up tomorrow, we're going to have that for you courtesy of our Twitter account, at Brady and Walker. Send us your most Halloween-inspired sports costume. Send us a picture and you could win.
Coming up 6:22, we'll talk about maybe what could have been the most wild play in World Series history had only it happened, and why the hashtag Chevy guy got very popular, and it better stay popular all morning long. We're going to need a lot more of this dude in our lives.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Back at it. Brady and Walker, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
The 0-1, and a swing and a liner into left center field. It is dropping for a base hit, and it gets by Blanco. It gets by Blanco to the fence. Gordon on his way to third base, and he is in there. Gordon is at third base.
Just when you thought that Madison Bumgarner was going to cruise to a victory and become the greatest hero ever, there was a moment where it looked like the Kansas City Royals still had destiny on their side. Brady Walker, 6:23. So describe that ninth inning for me and what you were thinking when it went down.
Yeah, I mean, the first two batters go down. I thought, you pinch it for Eric Hosmer here. I looked it up. No, he's decent against lefties. He's not coming out of that game. You're not taking Eric Hosmer out in the ninth inning. So two rather meek outs. And then you end up seeing Alex Gordon come to the plate, who hasn't had a great playoff by any stretch, but he's their star. He's not an undeniable player, and he hits a ball that's gonna drop into center field for a single. And Gregor Blanco just plays it like a bag of toys, and he's charging in, thinking catch at one point. And I don't know if the turf was wet. I saw this happen with Curtis Granderson once live in St. Louis. Gives up a triple when it should have been a single, and it was costly. And then you're it's literally an off the couch, out of the chair, screaming at the television moment, because you know what it means. You knew they were one out away. You know his run ties the game. And there's that moment where the camera cuts away, and you see Juan Perez come over and boot the ball a little bit, unable to pick it up.
You thought it had a chance for an inside the park home run.
You're not realizing when Gordon gets out. There's three factors to me. One, Gordon's okay speed. Okay, not undeniable speed. Not in the least. He had 12 stolen bases this year. But doesn't mean he's slow. And the other one was he didn't get out of the box in a hurry because he's thinking, damn it, it's in the air. Going to be caught if it's in the air. And then there's the third base coach. Again, this isn't even part of the debate. Mike Gersel has the stop sign up almost as Gordon's rounding second base, going, get in here, but stay, get in here, but stay. So it's not like Gordon's going in extra gear and rounding third. Do I think he would have been out at home if he went? Yes. Three out of four, maybe four out of five times he's out. You still need some things to happen. You need a relay. Posey's got to be where he's supposed to be. I don't know if you saw the part of the video where Posey ran out to Bumgarner to, like, pick him up or something, thinking this is an F8 and we're out of here. He had to run back home in case there was a play at the plate.
I
want to clarify your opinion because you were adamant. Dumb.
People were saying he should have been sent home, which I just can't even begin
it's not
to.
Look, it's not undeniable, but in any other circumstance, if there's one out, you don't send him. If any other pitcher's on the mound, you don't send him. If it's not a one-run game, you don't send him. You got to admit there were some combining factors to give it a scintilla of consideration. And maybe not in the heat of the moment for the Royals, but afterwards you go, huh, they still would have had to nail him. And Gordon still would have had to, if he's going and is going from the get-go and is sent, maybe we got some drama. Well, maybe we do.
If you look back at it through the filter of, yeah, Perez pops out to third. Well, of course, in retrospect, you said, well, I wish we would have sent him. But it's not, you have a major league, this isn't peewee baseball. It's not like Big John gets to third base with a triple and up next is the kid who wets his pants and is the automatic out.
Yeah,
it's still a major league hitter.
Has his glasses taped together. Yeah.
And with a pocket protector. It's still, like, I know it's Madison Bumgarner on the hill, but you just can't say, well, Perez was always going to get out. So many things can happen.
Yes, they do.
Wild pitch, you know, flare one over third, you know, hit a slow roller, an error, it was anything.
But open up the window a little bit here. I was one, and others were not doing it. It's not all retrospective thinking. When he got to third, people were, should he have sent him? Was there a possibility? Because now,
but when he got to third, the relay man already had the ball. Like, he would have been out by 40
feet. Like I said, he kind of chugged in. He chugged in like he just finished a 10K and was drenched in Gatorade and was wearing one of those silver jackets to get himself warm again. He was, I'm agreeing with you. He's probably meat of the dish. He's out and it's embarrassing for everybody. But now you're asking for another hit. You're asking for another hit from Salvador Perez.
Which is not impossible, right? People said he was unhittable.
What was the team batting?
Alex Gordon just got a base hit. Why couldn't someone else get a base hit?
What was the batting average for the team against Bumgarner in the series? 127? That's about the percentage I'd give Gordon of scoring. So
you would have given him more than a 10% chance of scoring?
9 times out of 10, he's out. Why can't 1 time out of 10... The relay's fumbled. Posey's offline. He gets smashed. Do you think they're going to call a Royal player out for running over the catcher? Ironically.
You can't run over the catcher. It's a rule. Like, and there's a little caveat to it, right?
If this
is a couple years ago, and Gordon, who's out by 30-some feet at home plate, if he decides to run over Posey, I mean... That's another element where maybe the ball pops loose, but you can't do that anymore.
I feel
anymore.
Like you said 40 feet last night. Now it's 30. Well, he's not getting...
I think it was more 60. I thought it was Deonor Navarro.
That's one-third of the distance between third and home.
Okay,
then he'd run back. He'd run back to third.
Let me ask you this, though, because I was in the same category. You're sitting on the couch. You're so excited. You're thinking, am I watching the most incredible moment in baseball history of an inside-the-park home run to tie Game 7 in the ninth? And we all had this element of wanting him to be sent because it's drama and not having a rooting interest. Yeah, send him. It's all fun. But put yourself in the shoes of the third base coach. If he waves Alex Gordon with Perez sitting there on deck and he's out by a substantial amount, the world is killing that third base coach today. He's not making out of Kansas City alive last night.
And you've already seen wacky Tigers fans who blame Gene Lamont for the 2012 World Series and blame Tom Brookins for last year's ALCS. So you're not wrong. I'm telling you again, he's probably out 4 to 5 times, maybe 9 out of 10 times he's probably out. But I didn't like their odds anywhere. Now, I'd ask you to consider that the Royals kind of froze. I don't know how you don't have Dyson come in and pinch run.
Yes, I do agree. I do agree.
Anything there. That Posey had a couple, now not from Bumgarner, but Posey had a couple balls bounce off his shins. That second inning, Hudson had a tough time even just keeping the ball on any kind of a route for Posey, and it was bouncing everywhere. Any kind of bounce that falls behind him, and you want to send your speedster and have him gun for the plate. But it never came to that.
6:30, Brady and Walker, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. A reminder, John Morosi, who had a late night last night, an early morning, I guess, going to join us.
He doesn't score on that.
At 8:42 this
morning.
He's
out by 86 feet. I've seen him run.
I am intrigued to get his take on it, though, as well. So the Toronto Raptors win their season opener last night at the ACC over the Atlanta Hawks. I didn't know this. You said the Hawks had been in the playoffs 7 straight years. Yeah. It still boggles my mind a little bit. Because they've been so white bread for so long. I mean, who's been their star?
Who's been their best player over
the
last 7 years?
Who's been the best player over the last 7 years for the Atlanta Hawks?
I mean, Horford's probably been, we're talking two or three.
Really?
Right?
So they do it in a very, is this the Raptors way, right? Is this the Raptors fashion? They had 7 guys last night in double digits and nobody had 20.
I'm sure that there are going to be nights when DeMar DeRozan takes over a little bit. He shot badly last night, right? 4 of 16. That was sort of, remember how we came in the Monday morning after game one, that noon Saturday game, and we're like, holy Moses, DeMar DeRozan's got to be better than that. It looked like the moment.
Yep, and he was.
The moment swallowed, and he got a lot better. The moment swallowed him up a little bit, shooting 4 of 16. He missed 3 free throws. And the audio I heard after the game, he was as angry about the free throws as anything else. So I think there are going to be some nights.
But he also had 6 steals.
Yeah, and
right?
11 rebounds.
And that's
yeah.
What's different with this team. He was 4 for 16, so what happened? He stopped shooting and found other ways to help.
But I think balance is going to be good early on. What you don't want to see from the Raptors is any of the 5 starters struggling to contribute. And no one worries about DeRozan contributing. No, he still had his 15 points because he's going to get to the line a lot because he slashes and he's not a perimeter. You know, he doesn't pull up and take jumpers like some shooting guards do. The one thing I think to watch, I don't think this is unreasonable, is we talk about this in hockey all the time. Kyle Lowry was in a contract year last year, and everything started to roll Kyle Lowry's way. Expectations weren't great for Kyle Lowry, and I think people even started to include him in the Rudy Gay discussion pretty early in the season when the team was whatever, 4-11 out of the gate is, well, can we move Lowry along? So much so that it sounded like that deal was done with the New York Knicks, and Kyle Lowry was going to become a New York Knick, and only the owner of the Knicks stopped it from happening. Now sometimes things work out for the best, right? The best move's the one you don't make in business, in life, in sports. But I wonder if Lowry will, I wonder if there is some slight regression or whether he'll be accused of that. It's going to be tough for Kyle Lowry to be as good as he was last year.
Yeah.
You are what you are at a certain point in a sport. And for Kyle Lowry at almost 30, we've probably seen his best basketball. That's okay to say. He's 29.
They call it a career year because it happens once in your career. That said, is Kyle Lowry a great player and going to be a huge player for this team? Absolutely he is. It just doesn't mean he's going to average 18 points.
He never averaged 15 before last year. Yeah. But that's okay. They may not need him to because other guys, Valanciunas, Ross, DeRozan, they're all great. Amir Johnson was excellent last night. That's as healthy as Amir Johnson's looked, according to people who see him every day. He was real good in the first 2 quarters. He didn't have to be as big in the fourth quarter last night.
Let me ask you really quick about Andrew Wiggins. So he gets the start last night. He wasn't necessarily supposed to, but Kenyon Martin had to set out this one with an ankle injury. I think people do get caught up in the hype and the hysteria, and Andrew Wiggins, Canadian first overall pick. Was last night kind of a reminder that don't expect too much out of the gate?
I'm not expecting very much at all from Wiggins, Andrew. I'm not.
Like, people expect the next Crosby right away.
I'm not expecting him to be Rookie of the Year. I thought Julius Randle had a better chance to be Rookie of the Year. Now he doesn't. I expect Jabari Parker to be a little bit better night in, night out than Andrew Wiggins. I think he's a little more quote-unquote NBA ready. Wiggins probably, it's probably sensible he went first overall. There's some project element with Wiggins a little bit, right? And there's a little bit of there's a huge development curve for a guy who's not 20 yet. And yeah, in the NHL, we are used to Ryan Nugent Hopkins coming at 18 and he gets it and it clicks, and Stamkos and Tavares and Hall and Sagan. it's not like that in the NBA. Tim Duncan wasn't Tim Duncan until about the fourth year in the league, and that's a number one overall pick as well. And that's Tim. God, if Andrew Wiggins has half the career Tim Duncan has, he might even make the Hall of Fame if he has half the career Tim Duncan does.
Next up for the Raptors, they get Orlando coming up on Saturday. It is 6:34. Brady and Walker, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, coming up at 6:42. Okay, so the World Series ended on a fantastic note, but the best part of that game might have been right after. We have audio you have to hear.
And at 6:52, two actors. We like them both, but they hated working with each other. I can't imagine such a thing. How would someone live with the 6:35.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Brady and Walker continues on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Right now, I'm not tired at all, man. Jeez, we just won the World Series. It's hard to be tired right now. Probably tomorrow, I'll be tired now.
That's Madison Bumgarner. What a series. Just incredible. The first ever five-out save, by the way.
Five-inning save. People are getting mad at him going, get more excited. They were like, hey, I'd be really excited. I'm like, you also wouldn't be getting two-hit, five-inning saves 2 days after you pitched.
So just to recap what we saw from Madison Bumgarner in this World Series, two wins and that save last night, that's what it ended up being, an ERA of 0.43 in 21 innings, 9 hits, 1 run, 1 walk, and 17 strikeouts. That's absolutely incredible.
And the tricky part was they weren't sure if it was going to count as a win at first. I've followed baseball my whole life. I still don't know.
I think the official score got confused. That's what happened.
It's some kind of official score decision if the starter doesn't go five innings, and then they judge. It's like judging a hit or an error.
Yeah.
They judge whether you are more deserving of, like, should Madison Bumgarner more so than, you know, Jeremy Affeld have gotten the win. There were only three pitchers used anyway.
But last night in the aftermath, they realized that it was a technical thing, and they had to give Affeld the win and Bumgarner the save. So as exciting as that game was last night, and what a fabulous ending, we'll be talking about it for weeks and months and years, was the most entertaining part of the night not dude giving away the Chevy truck?
You and I probably are of the same mind. It's like you want to hang with ceremonies and the Stanley Cup gets awarded and there's the Larry O'Brien trophy, and then you're looking at your watch going, I could grab an extra half hour of sleep and come in on 4 hours instead of 3.5.
Last night was like a Saturday Night Live
skit. Last night was undeniable. So they get this guy, and it's too much. They end up making it a little more of a corporate sell. And they get a regional manager named Rick Wild.
named Dwight Schrute.
Who spells his name R-I-K-K, which is odd enough. Maybe that was, but all of us, put it this way. There's down in the, they have it because they won on the road. And it's you got your Bud Selig, you got your Brian Sabian, you got the Giants owner. And then the other guy. And here's what transpired.
Madison, congratulations. As the official sponsor or the official vehicle of Major League Baseball, Chevrolet is proud to participate in this prestigious award. At Chevrolet, we have also been proud of the latest and greatest technology in our truck lineup, which is the all-new 2015 Chevy Colorado. It combines class-winning and leading, technology and stuff with Wi-Fi powered by OnStar, sitting there on screen, to recognize your performance in this 2014 World Series. I proudly present to you very own set of keys to a brand new 2015 Chevy Colorado.
Okay,
the audio doesn't do it as seeing it. I can barely listen to it, though.
Where the hell should we start? He has to dig deep in his pocket. He fumbles around in his khakis. And now, look, he's a giant fat guy. I don't know whether that made it. Did it make it funnier? Did it not? I'm not sure it would have made it any funnier. A skinny guy with that many and ahs.
It's funnier. It's like the Chris Farley fat, funny. Now, it's posted on our Twitter account, at Brady and Walker, if you need to see the video.
The Washington Post counted 7 ahs and 4 ums.
He's so... we speak publicly for kind of a living. Not publicly, but we sit here with the mics. We know when somebody's nervous. Now, that guy is as nervous as it gets. Like that guy's terrified. You can hear his voice shaking.
So, and Madison Bumgarner is maybe another major league player would have been more like Derek Jeter might have been an ease. Madison Bumgarner looked like I'll accept your car, but I also don't want you to die in front of me of cardiac arrest. This reminded us of Larry David in Curb Your Enthusiasm when he was selling cars. Listen to this.
This is the big boy, the top of the line. This is as good as it gets.
All right.
You know, you hear Lexus, Lexus, Lexus. You don't hear Camry, Camry. But that's what you should be hearing.
Well, tell me, what's in the engine here?
What's in it? Big stuff. Big charging crazy pistons, nutty pistons.
Was it twin cam?
Yeah, twin cam.
What are the colors?
This is a work of art.
There you go. Yeah, nutty pistons, charging pistons.
The best, like the best line in that that will be replayed for years and years is like, and if Chevy was smart, they would immediately put this in a new commercial to try to poke fun at themselves. But it comes with the leading class technology and stuff, really?
And Wi-Fi, which is very, it's like that, I can't remember the company, but this guy's like checking his Facebook stuff while he's driving. I'm like, I'm not allowed to make a phone call. And you're updating your Facebook status behind the wheel of a 70-mile-per-hour traveling automobile.
Hashtag driving. 648, Brady Walker, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Let's do best and worst.
Best.
Madison Bumgarner.
And worst.
Ken Bumgarner.
With hey. Brady and Walker.
People love the bomber. It's like it's a classic Toronto.
Yes.
We love the guy that tries hard.
Former Mr. Submarine commercial actor also. We might as well just call best player the Bumgarner Award from now on. I mean, same
pretty
guy,
much,
right?
Much like our worst tweet of the day is the proto award.
I'm going to be coughing like Rick Wilde the next 5 minutes. Do you have an honorable mention for best player?
Because I don't really. It's Bumgarner.
Honorable
isn't it?
Mention for best player.
This seems so minor now, but Justin Abdelkader of the Detroit Red Wings. Yes. I kind of like his game. He's like a third liner, but you play him up with the big boys, and he goes to the net and scores. He got 2 goals and assists last night as Detroit keeps it rolling in a 4-2 win over Washington. And so now, all of a sudden, this Abdelkader has, I think, 9 points in 9 games for the Detroit Red Wings.
Let me give worst loss to the New York Knicks last night. They were at home and got ripped 104-80 by the Chicago Bulls. How badly did they rip the Knicks? Derrick Rose, guess how his fourth quarter was? Well, they kept him to 0 points, but he played 0 minutes. He didn't even need to take the floor in the fourth quarter. Phil Jackson, the Knicks' new VP, GM guru, said after the game to the media, he winked at them as he was heading to his car and said, not quite ready for prime time, were we? So I've been trying to talk myself into the Knicks maybe being the Raptors' adversary. If last night's any indication, they will be no such thing. Carmelo Anthony, only 14 points. Mike Dunleavy shut him down last night.
All right, now let me take worst player. And I feel bad for the guy because obviously he's been really good for a long time for this club. But yeah, the game ends last night, and I know it's Bumgarner on the hill. But the game ends with Salvador Perez at the plate popping out to Pablo Sandoval at third. Not that you have to get a base hit and be the hero or else you're the GOAT, but it was a real tough at bat to watch for Royal fans who, at that point, you just need a ball in play. You got to give yourself a chance. And he swung at a couple of pitches out of the zone and then hits a lazy pop fly in foul territory to the third baseman. It was too bad to watch.
Do you think, let's say Salvador Perez hits a walk-off home run. That's too tricky. He probably gets the MVP. Did the Royals have an obvious MVP candidate to you? Hosmer,
no.
Gordon, they had a lot of, Moustakas, they had a lot of guys that didn't have a great series.
They kind of did it as a team, right? I think Bumgarner ends up winning the MVP award regardless.
Wow. Yeah.
And I wouldn't have said
even
that.
Even if he gets the loss in the ninth inning, right?
Wow. Worst loss. Best win. What did you see?
Best win. Let's give it to the Nashville Predators. We're going to talk about them a little bit after 7:20 when we have Damian Cox, our NHL Sportsnet hockey insider, on. But they go into Edmonton last night, and the Oilers are not looking great. Young girl watching on your bed. They weren't very good last night. The Preds are looking excellent. 4-1. They win. And Pekka Rinne, his health means everything to that team. Wasn't healthy last year, and no chance for the playoffs. Peter Laviolette, I hate doing Jack Adams stuff 10 games into the season, but he's an early candidate for the Preds having the best turnaround.
Sure, yeah. Preds are a sleeper playoff team. There's no doubt about it. Doubleheader, by the way, tonight, Sportsnet 360, you will have the L.A. Kings and the Pittsburgh Penguins at 7. What a matchup that is. As well as at 10 p.m., you have the Habs finishing up their Western road trip. They're in Vancouver, both on Sportsnet 360.
So we like the odd feud. It can be even in the media. It could be
media crime's best.
And people say it to us all the time. They're like, you know, what's the deal with you guys? And we're like, we hang out. We get on. We have different lives. We get on. Tommy Lee Jones and Jim Carrey. This is according to Jim Carrey. He was on Howard Stern yesterday, did a long interview. He hosted SNL on the weekend. So he's out there. Said Tommy Lee Jones hated him on the set of 1995's Batman Forever. Tommy Lee Jones doesn't look like, and I can see that right away.
He seems a bit cranky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tommy Lee Jones played Harvey Dent, the Two-Face character. And it was a really, like, he was coming off winning Best Supporting Actor in The Fugitive. He was great in JFK. Batman Forever seemed to be like, I got a new swimming pool to put in my backyard, so I'll take the check. And so they get announced for the movie. They walk into a restaurant, and Tommy Lee Jones gets up and tells Jim Carrey, I hate you. I really don't like you. He said, I cannot sanction your buffoonery, which is a great quote. And said, I'm not really looking forward to making this new movie with you. You're like, Jesus, how do they feel about Val Kilmer? What's going on here?
At least art imitates life. Like, has Tommy Lee Jones ever played a role that is not frown face?
Just like, this one, like, where he's camping it up and he's making all kinds of jokes. Like, that Batman was just terrible to sit through. I can't think of a movie.
Like, No Country for Old Men, The Fugitive.
Yeah, it's serious as a heart attack.
I don't care, Richard. Like, he's always the same guy.
Yeah, but he's cracking jokes. Like, even the character. You're right, No Country for Old Men is, that's his, I bet you he walks around a little bit like your Sean Penn and your Daniel Day-Lewis, where it's like, oh, be careful, he's still in character 24-7. That's Tommy Lee Jones to me. He's not hosting Saturday Night Live anytime soon. Put it that way.
6:54, Brady and Walker at 7:02. We got to get back in on Madison Bumgarner. Where does that rank? Is that the best pitching performance we've ever seen in the playoffs? And there's some pretty impressive names in there.
And did the drama get taken away somewhat before the ninth? Because Bumgarner's so good. After two innings, is this game going to end 9-8? Well, far from it, because of Bumgarner.